It's Lake Effect Weekend on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. A week from Saturday, thousands of football fans will descend on Camp Randall Stadium in Madison for the Wisconsin Badgers' first home game of the year. But if you were there 150 years ago, the people in black and white stripes wouldn't have been referees, but rather Confederate prisoners of war held there during the American Civil War. Old World Wisconsin is living the Civil War through its month-long event, Civil War Encounters. The commemoration comes to a peak this weekend with Gone for a Soldier. It features reenactments, family activities, and the chance to experience what it was like to enlist for the Civil War. Ryan Schwartz is the event coordinator for Gone for a Soldier. He tells Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson why, even though there were no Wisconsin battles during the Civil War, commemorating the war makes sense here.
What we try to do here at Old World Wisconsin is we try to bring the experience home to the visitors who come to the site. Because for many people, the Civil War is something that happened in the pages of textbooks and not in real life. And so the premise of the event is that we want to actually bring people from the present and into the past.
With Wisconsin being one of the Union states, Are you also incorporating the Southern and the Confederacy point of view, or are you just doing the Union point of view?
We're very limited in the Confederates for this year. We're primarily focusing on the experience of Midwestern and Wisconsin troops who all served in the Union forces. And so that's kind of our primary objectives. We want to know what the people who came from our region experienced during that conflict.
Okay, so you're not only talking about the soldiers, but you're also talking about the families as well.
Yes. The families were a very important part. The vast majority of federal soldiers during the war, so Union soldiers, were literate. So there was a tremendous amount of correspondence going home and then coming back to the soldiers at the front. They were eagerly awaiting mail call whenever the mail caught up with the moving armies. And not to mention, you have the sanitary commissions back at home, making sure things in the camp are clean to avoid disease. And you're seeing care packages coming from home, which is also discussed in the Sanford House, which is where we happen to be standing right now.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit more about these relief packages. What was inside those relief packages, and how are they different from those of today?
Well, actually, they're very, very similar. The idea, if you're making a relief package, is you're sending different small items from home that will give a soldier who's living in the field away from his loved ones a little touch of what it was like to be back home again. So what they include are things like, say, a housewife. Now, housewife was a term that soldiers used for a little package, cloth package, that would include sewing materials. And so it was what they would use to stitch up their own trousers because they were in charge of upkeeping their own uniforms. So it would include needles and fabric, and then often right in the center, because it's nice and protected, a little picture of their sweetheart, wife, or children right on the inside. And then other things that were preservable, like foods, little canned foods, snacks, that kind of thing. Ginger snaps were pretty common to send to the front, things like that.
Just looking at the calendar for the month of August, because this is going up until September 1st, Seems like the weekend of the 23rd and the 24th are going to be the big special ones because you have the opportunity to enlist in the Civil War. What was the experience like for the soldier, and what are we going to experience when we enlist?
Well, you're going to see a lot of what the experience would have been back in 1861 to 1865. Now, we're in the middle of the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, so you're looking at the 150th anniversary this year of 1864 to 2014. And so what we're going to be interpreting is a late war experience of the common Civil War soldier. And the best thing that you need to remember is that most of these soldiers were civilians before the war. They weren't professional soldiers. Most of them had never served in the Army before. And so we're seeing them transition from raw recruits as civilians who've never, in some cases, shouldered a musket in anger before in their lives, and then transitioning into some of the best trained and most efficient fighting troops in the world at the time.
How do they get to be trained to be as such?
Well, that's a great question. If you ever heard of Camp Randall?
Yes.
Probably heard of it. It's where the Badgers play in Madison. Yeah. That was actually the home of a Civil War training camp. That is why it is called Camp Randall. And so in the beginning of the war, that's where most units that came from Wisconsin were mustered and gathered and trained up there before they were sent to the front lines down south.
Was that the closest that the Civil War came to Wisconsin, or how much war front did Wisconsin see? Because they weren't actual battles here, but was Camp Randall and similar camps the closest thing that Wisconsin came to the Civil War?
Pretty close, yeah. There wasn't anything, I should say, in terms of actual combat fought in the state of Wisconsin. So we trained our troops and we sent them to the south to fight against the Confederacy there. However, one thing that did come home was the Confederate prisoners of war. There at Camp Randall, after it stopped serving as a training camp, turned into a Confederate POW camp. And if you have ever heard of Forest Home Cemetery in Madison, that is where there is a thing called Confederate Rest. Confederate Rest includes the graves of approximately 50 Confederate soldiers who died while in prison camp here in Madison.
What was it like to be in a POW camp in Wisconsin?
Slightly better than in the South, but not by much. Prisoner of war camps, as a general rule, were pretty horrid when it came to their conditions. It was very difficult to keep clean, to keep the people fed, and often they were just terribly overcrowded, especially now in 1864, where there is no longer a trading of prisoners going on. What they'd originally set up was that soldiers who were captured could be traded out one-to-one on either side, so one Union guy would be sent back when they traded for one Confederate guy. That didn't happen after in 1864, because the guy who's in charge, General Grant, you might recognize from one of our pieces of currency, General Grant decided that that was helping the Confederates more than it was helping the Union, and he wanted to bring the war to a swift end. So he stopped exchanging prisoners in 1864. And so after that, conditions got much, much worse because the camps became overcrowded when they started holding more men than they were ever intended to hold.
Are you going to be having reenactments here at Old World Wisconsin with the soldiers fighting, or what will we see in terms of soldiers here during the weekend of the 23rd and the 24th?
Well, 23rd and 24th is the big one. Every day here on site, we have just one soldier in a little camp, like he's recruiting new men to send down from Wisconsin to the front. But on the 23rd and the 24th, our big Gone for a Soldier weekend, that is our big reenactment of the season for Old World Wisconsin. We're going to have approximately 100 to 120 reenactors here, including infantry, so foot soldiers, cavalry, mounted troops that were riding horses, and artillery, firing the big cannons, as well as a few civilians as well to show off what it was like there. So we're going to have just a little skirmish, nothing too big, and what the main emphasis is going to be upon the everyday experience. What they often talk about soldiers on the war front having, it was an experience of extreme boredom most of the time, broken by intermittent fits of extreme terror. And that's what we're going to try and be showing off here, is the event that these soldiers are marching around, they're doing military protocol, they're guarding the camps, they're cleaning the camps, they're doing patrols, they're working with civilians. And then every so often, you have a big burst of musket fire, and then the battle's on.
So let's talk a little bit more about these families, because once the soldiers went on to fight in battle, or they're bored, and then they had the little skirmishes, how did it affect the economy of Wisconsin? Because a lot of these people, like you were talking about, were farmers. Did the wives and the children have to pitch in and do the farming then? Or what happened back home with the economy?
That's actually exactly what happened, is the men were going off to fight. And so it came down to the wives and the children and then the older gentlemen who were still at home, who were too old for service or too young for service to pick up the slack. The North had the benefit of the fact that it had a much larger population than the South, and so it was able to keep the factories going at a much higher pitch than what was done down in the South. But especially here in Wisconsin, because most of the people who went were farmers, you're really having to see the wives and the children pick up the slack that the men left when they went to the front lines.
Wow. What is going on the rest of the time here, except, you know, aside from the 23rd and the 24th, if we came out on a Wednesday, what are we going to see?
Well, first of all, when you come in, you're going to see most of the Civil War activities concentrated in the Crossroads Village area. That's kind of our main town here at Old World Wisconsin, because we have a main town and several ethnic farmsteads, but you're seeing most of the Civil War concentrated in the village, which is where, in a lot of cases, it would have been. And so if you walk into town, you're going to see a little recruiting station on the town green, which is where the soldiers who are fighting at the front line would send back a representative from their unit to try and get new recruits. Because most of these soldiers were volunteers, they didn't want draftees to fight with them because draftees were seen as not having enough patriotism. And so you would wanted to get volunteers because volunteers were considered a higher caliber. So you would try and recruit volunteers for your own unit. So you'll see a little recruitment camp there where you can sign a recruitment document, do some drilling with wooden muskets, and see about a soldier's life that way.
What is the propaganda like for recruiting these recruitments?
Well, propaganda was mostly boasting about the fighting caliber of the units you'd be joining, as well as talking about their triumphs in the field. So the units who had a very, let's say, accomplished battlefield reputation would be able to garner more recruits because they had a reputation of being hard and tough fighters. Other sorts of propaganda that you might see is the recruitment bonuses. For example, if you were going to volunteer, you'd be paid the healthy sum of $13 a month, plus a recruitment bounty, much like you can see if you join the military today. However, if you were drafted, you would only be paid $11 a month, and you would not get any bounty whatsoever.
Wow. Well, we better go sign up then.
Yeah, sign up quick.
Ryan Schwartz, thank you so much for being on Lake Effect and telling us about Old World Wisconsin's Gone for a Soldier.
Yep, please come out and see us August 23rd and 24th for the big event, and you'll have a lot of fun, I guarantee it.
Excellent, thank you.
Ryan Schwartz is the event coordinator for Gone for a Soldier. Everyone is invited to take part in this weekend's event at Old World Wisconsin. Gone for a Soldier is part of the month-long Civil War program that's held at the museum. There's more information about it at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Schwartz spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson. We'll take a break, and then coming up next, why a museum celebrating Wisconsin art is partnering with the government of Luxembourg's Ministry of Culture. Stay tuned for that conversation on Lake Effect Weekend from Milwaukee Public Radio.